Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome into Duval Daily, presented by JenJag.com. I'm Jordan DeLugo. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Wednesday, March 27th. The Jaguars are having a top 30 visit with DeAndre Prince. Now, when it comes to top 30 visits, we got to talk about this. Does not mean they look at this prospect as a top 30 player, as a potential first rounder. It just means they want more one-on-one time. They want a formal interview. They want to sit down with this guy and figure out a lot more about him. So it does mean that they probably have some potential interest in him at some point in the draft. It just doesn't necessarily mean it's super early, right? So we're going to talk about him here. We're going to talk over the next few weeks about a lot of guys that the Jaguars are having formal visits with. And this one is according to Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network. So shout out to him for getting the scoop on that. The Jaguars and Colts both have top 30 visits with him. So two teams within the same division rivals, right? Both meeting with DeAndre Prince. So we're going to talk about him here. He's an Ole Miss cornerback. He's 23 already, so he is a little bit of an older prospect. We'll turn 24 in October. We're going to dive into the combine performance, the tape, the stats, all that fun stuff. Talk about his fit with the Jaguars. If you enjoy the content here, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out jenjag.com/shop, pick up some new Duval gear. So again, Ole Miss cornerback, he's 23 years old. He's 6 feet tall, 183 pounds, had a 34.5-inch vert at the combine, which is below average, but 10.05 broad jump is great. 4.38 40-yard dash is elite. Did not do the agility drills yet. Might do that at his pro day. We'll see about that. Has 30.75-inch arms. So good, not great length, good proportional length. Certainly nothing that the Jaguars are going to look at, in my opinion, and say, we got to stay away from this guy because he just does not have the length that we're looking for. So again, we'll talk about the tape and the underlying numbers as well. I watched him against Bama and LSU. One of the first things I notice is his aggressiveness. He does not back down from anyone in coverage when he needs to fire downhill against the run. You see that mindset that the Jaguars are going to value as a team that wants to play aggressive, as a team that wants to deploy a lot of press coverage. I think that he absolutely has the mindset for that. And he's a good quality run defender. He's not out of control. He really plays above his weight class. Again, only 183 pounds. But the way he plays, you would expect him to be much closer to 200 pounds. Again, he does not back down from anyone coming downhill against the run or in coverage. And in coverage, you see him in off man, off zone, press man, press bail. So he's got experience in all these different types of coverage, and he's a smart defender. You see that he understands his assignments, how offenses are going to try to manipulate him in his assignment. So that's a big plus. Anytime you have a smart football player, especially at the cornerback position, who has great speed, who has good size, who's an aggressive player, I think you like all those traits stacking up together. He is a little high-waisted, which means he has long legs. When you have long legs, transitions and fluidity, changing directions can sometimes be a little bit of a struggle. I would say his hip fluidity overall and change of direction ability to transition down the field is adequate in off coverage and man coverage. It's not great. It's also not something that's really a total negative. I think he's, you know, pretty average in that regard. And again, that's thanks to the long legs that he has. But when it comes to staying in phase and firing downhill against comeback routes and things of that nature, he is very good. He can plant and come back to the football and really disrupt at the catch point. I mentioned I watched him against Bama and LSU. Brian Thomas Jr. did give him some fits. I saw on an early play that ended up not being a completion. He was able to stick with Brian Thomas Jr. once they both opened up, but at the transition point, flipping his hips, it looked like it was a little slow, a little bit rigid for DeAndre Prince, and it allowed Brian Thomas Jr. to get a step on him, and it would have been a big play had Jaden Daniels put it on the money. And then when you look at it, Brian Thomas Jr. also a slot fade touchdown. Prince was in great position on that one. Was just a better play by the offense. So he did get beat by Brian Thomas Jr. a couple times, but that's why Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be a first-round pick, and DeAndre Prince is not going to be a first-round pick, right? Statistically, he's been very good since he was a freshman. He was in school a year longer, didn't play in 2020, which is why he's a little bit of an older prospect here coming out in the 2024 NFL draft. A career 52.2% completion percentage allowed in coverage. You love to see that. Career passer rating allowed of 80.3, also very good. You look at quarterbacks across the college landscape, those quarterback ratings are just through the roof in college. And for him to allow only 80.3, that is quality. He's never been a heavily penalized player, so that's another plus. 19 pass breakups throughout his career, 6 interceptions, 10 touchdowns allowed, never allowed more than 24 catches in a season, never had a season where he gave up more than 250 yards through the air for the entire year. So I think that...
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a prospect based on the tape, the testing, age factored in as well, and the statistical output, I'd give him a mid to late third round grade. He's a prospect who played in the SEC all 4 years, has very good tape overall. He's smart. He's physical. He's aggressive. He has enough size. He has elite speed. I think he can probably develop into a starting level cornerback in the NFL. Now, that's not to say he's going to be a CB1, but I don't think that he needs to be a CB1 with where you're going to draft him. I think that he can be a CB2. Probably that's his ceiling, is cornerback 2, starting outside corner opposite a true lockdown guy. And I think the floor is also pretty high, though. I think floor of like a CB3, maybe CB4 at worst. So that's a pretty stable projection. And the only reason I don't really see him having a higher ceiling than he does, despite his size and smarts and obvious athletic traits, again, the hip fluidity isn't super impressive. So when you talk about needing to have fluid hips and man coverage, he just doesn't quite have that. But he does have makeup speed. Again, very smart football player. So that's why I do think he can be a starter in this league. I think he can be a starter for the Jaguars long term. And if they want to target him with the 96th pick in the draft, which is their third round compensatory pick, I'd be good with that depending on how the board looks. Like, again, my evaluation of him is mid to late third round. But this is a super deep cornerback class. You know, me evaluating him in the middle to late third round does not take into context the rest of this class. So there are a lot of guys I have firmly ahead of him that could still be on the board at that point. We'll run through them. Quinyon Mitchell, obviously, he's probably going to be the first corner off the board. Kool-Aid McKinstry will be long gone. Terrion Arnold, long gone as well. Nate Wiggins, I'm not super high on Nate Wiggins. He's not going to be available at this point either, but I just don't think he's a Jag type of player. I think he's too small in terms of his weight, not enough mass on his frame. He doesn't have good proportional length. He doesn't tackle. So he just does not really feel like a Jaguar to me. But getting into some of these other guys that I have ahead of, Deontre Prince, Renardo Green, squarely ahead of him, Ennis Rakestraw, Kyrie Jackson. Kamari Laster cannot run, which worries me, but his tape is awesome. So I'm a little bit mixed feelings on Kamari Laster. But I would have Deontre Prince in a similar range of prospects like Elijah Jones, Max Melton, Andrew Phillips. I probably have a little bit ahead of him because Andrew Phillips does have tremendous hip fluidity and quickness, and he's just sticky in coverage. But again, those are outside specific guys at corner. There's a lot of nice nickel players as well. But when we're talking about a certain role here, Deontre Prince's role, I think, for the Jaguars would be as an outside corner. So those are some outside specific guys that I have ahead of him, that I have in the similar range as him. And looking at the Jaguars cornerback situation, I think they already have right now for 2024, two starting caliber guys outside. Tyson Campbell is obviously a starting caliber player in this league. Ronald Darby, even though he's bounced around a lot, even though he's had some injuries, when he's out there on the football field, he's a very good outside corner that can start in this league, no doubt about it. You obviously have a starting nickel in Darnell Savage, another guy in Antonio Johnson who can play big nickel for you. Buster Brown is decent depth outside. I think if the Jaguars were to go draft Deontre Prince and he's their first corner that they take, you know, in the third or fourth round, whatever it may end up being, I would have zero problem with that. Like, that gives you, in my opinion, four outside cornerbacks who you feel decent about being on the field. You know, again, Tyson Campbell, Ronald Darby, Deontre Prince, and Buster Brown, and you've got a couple other guys that you're still working to develop behind them. They're not the only players on your roster. So if they wanted to bring in Prince and then maybe bring in another cornerback even later on, I'd be good with that. But I think, again, Deontre Prince, a very quality prospect. Like, not going to blow the roof off, not going to be a CB1 in this league, in my opinion. But can he start for you? Yeah. Can he be very, very good depth? Absolutely. I think that bringing him in to be kind of CB3 on the outside in 2024, you could do a lot worse. So we'll see how it plays out for the Jaguars. Maybe they value corner even higher than this. Maybe they go corner in first or second round. We'll see. But if they want to wait a little bit and nab a guy third, fourth round, I think Prince makes a lot of sense for them. If you enjoy the content here, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out jinjag.com/shop, pick up some new Duval gear. Y'all have a good one.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.